Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh, is daf Vov, but we're still holding right at the bottom of daf Hei Amud Beit. So we've been talking about this question about the Shmuel's Psak Halacha, which is that two people that went ahead and passed in the din, that din would be a kosher din. Okay, and this is the way that Reb Nachman actually brought the halacha. So today we got up to Eitve, at the bottom of Heomit Beit, in which we have a problem from what appears to be a Beferish Abraita. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Hadin Bishlosha. So if you're going to actually paskin a din in Bezdin, then you need three Dayanim. Ufshara Bishnaim. But you can reach arbitration that you can do by having two people. And it's actually better in a sense because it's more reliable to have an arbitrated, because it's a compromise basically, than to go strictly according to the halacha. Because if two people would have told you what the din is, the Baalei Dinim who went to such a Bezdin can say, listen, this is not the correct halacha. They don't have to accept a halacha of a Bezdin of only two people. Masha Enkin, if they had accepted two people to be arbitrators, then they can't change their mind. Shnaim shasu pshara ein Baalei Dinim yicholim lachzor behem. So you see from here very clearly that if you have a bezdin of two people, the Baalei Dinim can say, well, it's not a real bezdin, so we don't like the din that was pasken, and we want to go to a real bezdin. So I thought Shmuel said that you have exactly the same din of Shnayim Shadanu, and the din is binding. So this is very confusing. How in the world could Shmuel have paskened against this? And Reb Nachman as well, he was saying we should do that. Now note that this is not very clear at all. Because two people, if you're going to have two people in a Bezdin and you have the Baalei Dinim going to that Bezdin, they would only go to that Bezdin because they were already mekabel on themselves that Bezdin. Otherwise, of course, they don't have to go to two people. So the Shaila is, as Tosis points out, so then what's the advantage of two people doing a pshara, which also, to go to arbitration, you have to accept the arbitrators, obviously. I mean, people can't force you to arbitrate. So if you've agreed to the arbitration and you can't change your mind because you've already committed, the same thing would be true, as we're going to see very soon, that once you're a mekabel on yourselves, a bezdin of only two dayanim, you can't change your mind either. So you're saying over here that it's more powerful to have the Kayach of the Pshara. How exactly is the Kayach of the Pshara more powerful, asks Tosis? Because it seems to be it would be exactly the same. So Tosis answers that maybe what it's talking about over here, that they went to two people and they told those two people, okay, either do a din for us, according to the way that the din would normally be paskin, or make a pshara. So over there, if they went ahead and took the pshara, they can't change their mind. But since they had said, give us a standardized din, and this wasn't the standard din, they can change their mind. It's pretty weak kind of comparison, but okay. Anyway, but look, I mean, that's right now, that's not what's important to us. We're going to be getting into the pshara later today. But the point is that it's quite clear from here that it's not considered to be a normal din. That's for sure, right? It says over here they could change their mind. So how exactly can Shmuel say, and Reb Nachman say, that the din is that you go according to their psak, whether you like it or not? Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, what's the problem? This is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, but Shmuel wasn't going according to Shimon ben Gamliel. Shmuel was going according to the Rabbanan. And apparently the Rabbanan, Shmuel holds the Rabbanan, argue on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So Vechitem, you'll try to tell me that that's the solution, and that the Rabbanan argue on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, but the problem is, we had before, all the way back on Daf Beis, that Rabbi Avo said that Shnayim Shedonu, the halacha is, nobody holds the two people. L'divrei Hakol ein dinei amdin. Nobody holds the two people that gave a psak din as a bezdin. are a kosher Beis Din. So then, if that's the case, the only das that we know of is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And Rabbi Abbo says, and nobody argues on that. So why are we saying Aliba de Reb Nachman and Aliba de Shmuel that actually you can have a din with two? So I say, well, what's your problem? Says Reb Nachman. You're asking on me and you're asking on Shmuel because of Rabbi Abbo. We don't like Rabbi Abbo. Why do we have to accept what Rabbi Abbo said? Gavra, Gavra Karamita. What, you're pointing out that Rabbi Abbo disagrees with us. Thank you very much. Kol hakavod to Rabbi Abbo, but we disagree. Shmuel obviously holds that the Rabbanan do argue with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And Shmuel was going Aliba de Rabbanan. And according to the Rabbanan, Shnayim Shadonu, Dinam Din. Fine. Let's think about that psak of Rabbi Abbo that we had back on Daf Beis and we just mentioned again. Gufa. Rabbi Abbo. Shnayim Shadonu, Dine Mamonot. So we're talking about someone. We're dealing with the dine mamonis that do not require the shlosha dayanim min ha-tera. In other words, we're talking about dine halva'ot and hoda'ot, those type of dine mamonis, not the dine mamonis that are involved in gezela, shmira, as some type of issue of chabalot. There, everybody agrees that we have in the Torah, specifically Elohim, the three times Elohim, or the different drushes that we had. Okay. And what we're talking about over here is, according to Rabbi Abbo, in the event that you had only two people being done that din, that would be fine. According to Shmuel, that would be fine. And according to Rabbi Abbo, it's ridiculous. The Divrei HaKol, Ein Din Ehem Din. Eisver Rabbi Abbo, Rabbi Abbo. Dan et ha-din. So here we have the Mishnah Becheres that says, if Dan et ha-din, now Dan et ha-din is Lashon Yachid, a single person. Dan et ha-din, v'chizikat ha-chayav, v'chiyevet ha-zakai. So we had a single dayan, and he made a mistake, and he said that the person who was chayav was potter, or vice versa. Or he said that something that was tahar was tamei, or something that was tamei was tahar. Look, whatever it is that he paskened stands, but he's got to pay damages for how he caused this loss to the other person because he told him the opposite of the correct din. Now, we're going to see later on that this is talking about where he actually physically had destroyed the thing that he paskened about. In other words, he said, look, man, this is tummy. You don't believe me? He touches it to something that's tummy. So that type of thing, right? Because otherwise, it would just be a groma. Fine. But here we're talking about, as we'll see, he actually did the din. He carried it out, and it turned out it was a mistake. So then he has to pay. But what he did is done. What that means is that he can't just cancel the din. He can't say, whoops, I made a mistake, so the din doesn't stand. No. You were done. The din stands. But why would the din stand, according to Rabbi Abbo, if he was only a single individual? It says, we are dan et ha-din. I thought Rabbi Abbo said, nah, that's just a joke. What, two people that do a din? Certainly one person that does a din? That's not a real din. What we're talking about over here, Achumai Eskinon, of course, Rabbi Abbo would say, is that the two Balei Dinim were makabel on themselves, this individual to be their dayan. And we'll see later on, in a case where you agree to a din under one person, under two people, of course. That's up to you. You could be mekabel it on yourself. But I don't understand, says the Gemara. If we're talking about a case where they were mekabel on themselves, so why does it say that he has to pay? If they were mekabel, so then they were mekabel, whatever it is that he paskin, right? So then am I mishalem mibeto? No, it doesn't mean they were mekabel anything that he paskin. They went to this guy, and they told him, listen, we'd like you to give the din, but, it has to be accurate. Dan din Torah for us, not just tell us what you think the din is. And he told them the wrong thing. So, therefore, he has to pay. I'm just curious. We say he made a mistake. How do we know that he made a mistake? In what sense did he make a mistake that we could say that it's a given that it really was a mistake? I don't understand that. The Torah B'mai. If he was taught in something that is a Beferish omission, is that considered to be a ta'ut, or is that considered to be canceled? It's like, you know, just declare a mistrial. This guy's crazy. I mean, when he's telling you something that's against the Beferish Mishnah, we know that Reb Sheshes quotes Rabbani as saying that in the event that a Dayan was taught in a Dvar Mishnah, you could just cancel the whole din, because that's not even called a din. So how would he be chayev for the mistake that he made if he could just cancel the decision? Ella, it must be that it was teya b'shikul hadat. So shikul hadat means a judgment call. So he made a mistake in a judgment call. Well, what does that mean, a judgment call? I mean, if it's still open to the judgment of the judge, so what makes it a mistake? It seems to be like a catch-22. If you're telling me it's an objective mistake, so then the din doesn't stand at all. If you're telling me it's not an objective mistake, but it's a judgment call, well, he's the judge. So why can't the judge have a judgment call? So what do you mean? Hey, you dummy, b'shikul hadat. So what would be considered the type of mistake that is not just a mistrial, but that it actually is a problem? It will stand, but he has to pay. Amrif Papa, well, I mean, imagine a case where we have sugyas in the Gemara. We've got two Tanoim, two Amoraim that are arguing with each other, right? Now, the Gemara, sometimes the Gemara says, Hilchasa like X. But in this particular case, as in many cases, the Gemara never paskens. So lo itmar hilchata lo kamar velo kamar. However, it is the general approach. Sugyan di Alma, Aliba de Chad Minayim. Generally speaking, basically everybody follows one of these approaches, and that seems to be the way the Gemara goes when you read it. It always takes this for granted as its first take on the issue, but it doesn't say that that's the halacha. And he goes ahead and he follows the other one, that no dayanim are really in normally, they don't follow. That's called shikul hadat. So you can't say it's not the halacha. But on the other hand, since they said, give us the standard din, you didn't give the standard din. And therefore, this is considered to be a violation of shikul hadat. All right. Anyway, so we end up now, we have these two shitas among the achronin. Namely, are you want to ask something? Is that your hand up there? What happened to your electronic hand? You don't have electronic hands in play?
I feel this hand. It's so much more fun of me than the electronic hands. Maybe, what about Eilu Beru Divim Lekim Chaim? You know, Moshe finds its introduction to...
That's Binogea, where there's not a Sugya Di Alma Aliba Dachad Binayim. But if there's a Sugya Di Alma Aliba Dachad Binayim, that's how we paskin. What that was talking about, by the way, what you're referencing, what I told you about the Bermesha, that's talking about whether the person is considered to be an avaryan. It's talking about a chazan that used the microphone over there. That for sure that we would never say, of course, Eilu Beru Divrei Elokim Chaim. Here we're talking about where a judge, where he was acting as the dayan yochid or as a bezdin, that was not a full weight of bezdin, and they told him we want the din to be like the din is normally, and he went and he went against it. That's considered to be that case of Torah that we're talking about, because it says, the Omer le Dayantalan din Torah, give us the standard din Torah. Fine. So this is a very specific kind of case. Okay, so now we end up with a machlokas. Now see what happens? Daniel puts up an electronic hand, and now this outrageous biological, I mean, we've been past this for centuries. Who's walking around with biological dermatologies? Yeah, Daniel, yeah.
Everybody, it's Bill shikul hadat of this Dayan.
That's right. So what are you saying? What is that, a question, a statement? What is that? Is that a name of a song?
No, it's two questions. The second question is how they know. They came because they don't know what is the din. And then they now judge their judge.
I didn't understand the first question.
The question is if why we call that shikul hadat, because, I mean, that was shikul hadat of the Dayan. Because even if he choose to ask in something not standard.
Okay, but they asked... And we're makabel, the das of this dayan, because of the standard. So they said, don to us the way the din is normally din dayan. So in that case, It's just considered to be the standard. There's a standard. There's a normative halacha. The normative halacha, even though you can't cancel a din, that's not part of the normative halacha. It's not what they bought into. It's not what they bought into, so they want him to make good on it. That's the case.
I assume he found it necessary to apply this non-standard because that was more appropriate.
But they didn't accept that, l'chatchila. Remember, we're talking about over here. We have to see what the din would be if it would be a normal bezin. But here we're talking about it was a dayan that they asked him to be done, and they told him beferish dayan talanu k'din Torah. Obviously, they didn't expect him to give a din parsoi. Okay, but listen, as I say always, at the beginning of a sugya, it is very premature to start. You could raise the issues in your mind, but we've got a beautiful masechet in front of us. Let us explore the young lady properly. You know, you don't just jump into bed with a masechet. You know, there's a lot of ritzoi, a lot of foreplay. So it's time for the foreplay. So relax. It's fine. Don't get so hot under the collar. Anyway, so says the Gemara, this question about is a din kosher with three, with two, with one, this seems to be like a machlokas tanoim, actually. I don't know why are we focusing only on Shmuel and on Rebbe Abo. Take a look at this braita, and you'll see that it's much more complex. Here it says in the braita like this, Bitzua b'shlosha, give it Rebbe Meir. So if you want to reach a compromise solution, then you have to do that with three dayanim. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, a compromise, pishara, can even be used by a single dayan. Now, this is very strange because, I mean, is a bitzua a pshara? Is a pshara a bitzua? Why do we switch the language in between? So we're going to see that there's actually a very big machlokas coming up about whether compromise is compromise, in which it's a good thing and everybody gets something, or compromise is stealing, which is, of course, bitzua, which is the lashon that we just had in this week's parsha. Ma betza ki na'arog et achino. There ain't no money to be made off of that, but that's betza. Betza kesef, that is like stealing. If you're referring to a bitzua, to a compromise as a bitzua, what you're saying is, well, you can't possibly get a compromise right because you're stealing from somebody. The din is like either like this guy or like that guy. So why are you saying let's compromise? Who do you want to steal from? So we're going to see that that's a big question that's coming up. What is our attitude towards compromises in din? And because of that, apparently, this is part of the machlokas. Rebbe Meir looks at a compromise as a bitzua. The Chachamim look at a compromise as a pshara. Fine. So they use different words. But basically, we're talking about the same phenomenon. So now, the Talmidim who said Lema Ketanoi, they thought, Savrua, they thought that the reason that we believe that this is like the same machlokas that we just had between Shmuel and Rabbi Abu is because they made a mistake. They understood that both the Chachomim and Rabbi Meir hold that Makshina Pshara Ladin. The truth is, we're going to see later on Ahmed Beis, so we're going to see that we actually have a comparison in Tanakh between Mishpat and Tzedakah. According to one approach means that we compare Pshara Ladin. So they thought everybody agrees to that. So then it must be that there's an underlying machlokas about what that comparison of Pshara to Din means. And therefore, the machlokas over here would be that according to Rabbi Meir, the Ma'ar Savar Din B'Shlosha, so Rabbi Meir holds, since we have a comparison of Pshara to Din, and since it's a given that Din is B'Shlosha, now that's Nogeh Machlokas between Rabbi Abo and Shmuel. So since it's a given, according to Rabbi Meir, that Din is B'Shlosha, therefore Pshara is B'Shlosha. But she'en kein the Chachamim hold that no, since it's a given that din is b'shnayim and not b'shlosha, so therefore it would be also the pshara would have to be b'shnayim, right? Or even b'echad, as we will see. Says the Gemara, but that's not true. There's no reason for us to assume that everyone agrees on the basis of there being a comparison in the Torah between din And sure, actually, it could be just the opposite. Maybe both Rebbe Meir and the Rabbanon hold the Kuli Alma that, of course, it's a given that you need three Dayanim for Dinim. Maybe that's good for the Macholkas. I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir. The Pshara is the same as the Din, and since I know that the Din is Bishloisha, so too the Pshara is Bishloisha. Whereas the Chachamim hold Marsava lo makshira Pshara ledin. And therefore, since it's not the same, so if you're talking about a compromise solution, you're basically talking about something that is arbitration. And therefore, you don't need three. So this has nothing to do with the Machlokas, necessarily, between Reb Nechemia and Shmuel on the one hand, and Reb Abba on the other hand. No. Okay, well, let me ask you something else. It turns out now, I'm really getting confused, because we have three separate prices here. I mean, we started today on Hayom Midbeis, and we said over there that according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Pshara is Bishnayim. And then we came along and we said, no, according to Rebbe Meir, Pshara is with three. And then we said, according to the Chachamim, Pshara is with Eva B'yochid. Are there really three separate shitas over here? Lema Tlata Tanoi B'Pshara? That Rebbe Meir holds Mar Sava B'Shlosha, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds, Pshara B'Shnayim. And now the Chachamim hold that even a Dayan Yochid. Says Rav Acha Breda Rav Ikar, some say Rav Yemra Bar Shalmia, no, there's only two shitas. Actually, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who said two, there's no difference between two and one, is there? I mean, what mocker is there ever for that? If we had the din that we brought a raya, but tzedek tishpot amitecha, that's one. That was even legabe the din. I mean, so where in the world would we get the idea that there's a concept of two as opposed to one? Nobody meant two as opposed to one. It's just that what Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying is, it makes sense that nobody would want to have a single person. Because if you have a single person, you do not have any record of the pshat. See, if you have two people, then you have two people that would be able to testify as to what the psak was. If you went to a single person and he says, well, you remember we were there 5 years ago and you paskin? Yeah, I remember. What did you say? I said you're chayev. Well, I don't believe you. So why'd you ask me? But the point is that I don't have to believe you, right? Because, I mean, you're only an eight echad at this point. So we're not standing here in front of the din. So therefore, it made sense for Reb Shimon ben Gamliel to say that you should always have two judges because that way the same judges will be able to testify in later years what it was that the psak was at the time. But that's just logistics. I mean, technically speaking, in terms of the din itself, then Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was saying if you want to have an arbitrated settlement. Obviously, you don't need two people. What's the difference between two people and one person? Omer Vashi, but one thing you do see from here. I mean, if Rabbi Meir is making a big fuss about it, and he's saying that you need three people, I mean, like, what is that supposed to mean? If I want to go to arbitration, so I thought if I want to go to arbitration, I'm going to have to sign an arbitration agreement, right? Right? Sign an arbitration agreement. So then that means that I basically, I'm going to make a kinyan. If I make a kinyan, why do I need three people? If I go ahead and I give you something with a kinyan, so I don't need to have three people there. So you see from here, if according to Rabbi Meir, you need three people, it's obviously not standard in reaching an arbitration agreement, meaning an agreement to arbitrate. It is not standard to require a kinyan, because otherwise, I mean, it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Meir to start talking about three. So therefore, pshara is from here, you see, that shema mina pshara einat tzricha kinyan, because Yitzhak adayla tzricha kinyan. So then why would Rabbi Meir say you need three? L'man yom tzricha tlata. Lomali. You can use two or even one, as long as you make the kinyan. Once you're committed to the arbitration, you can't change your mind, and therefore, Rabbi Meir would be off the wall. Why do I need three people for something that two people are agreed on? But the halacha, interestingly, is that pshara does require a kinyan. And as Tosis explains, the reason that you would say that you need a Kenyan, even if you need a Besdin, is because the person could claim that it was without a Kenyan, that his agreement was a mechila b'ta'ut. That's the point. And unless you have three people, you could still be able to claim that. And therefore need both a Kenyan and an enforcing court of Shlosh Dayan. Now, we are about, before we begin, I'm actually being reminded by an alarm about something important. I just have to figure out how to turn off the alarm, but otherwise I'm all right. Don't know how. Okay. There's something important is that I was contacted by Rabbi Kaplan's children. I put a copy of the letter on WhatsApp. Now, they say that they're actually very reluctant to ask people to donate again because they just donated. Obviously, it was just, you know, the Reim of Tevin. But they point out, look, it's a very difficult time, which we all know. Financially, a lot of people are suffering. And they got someone, because of this, to match funds. And that way, every person, just for Hanukkah, every person that gives whatever shekel you give, a dollar you give, is going to be matched by somebody else. So basically, it's a way of encouraging people to give. Somebody does that, it's a big mitzvah for that person because he encourages others. So it's kodol ha'maaseh yesh ma'aseh. But l'maaseh, it is a very encouraging thing. So the information, again, the banking information is on that letter that I put on WhatsApp. And anybody that wants to be part of the mitzvah for giving them money for Hanukkah, I wanted to remind you, as Barney always reminds us, that now would be a good time. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. And since the Gemara is about tzedakah on Mishpat, so maybe it would be a good time to give tzedakah. So let's get involved in this sugya. This sugya is a lengthy sugya and a rather complex sugya. And it starts off looking simple, but as we're going to see tomorrow, we actually have to fully define each shita here and see what the subtle differences are between them. So Tana Rabbana, v'shem sha'adin b'shlosha, if you need three dayanim for a din, you need to reach a bitzua, a compromise b'shlosha. And what's more, once nigmar hadin, iyata reshai liftsah. Once you've said the verdict, now this is a little bit strange, because as Tosis points out, nigmar hadin normally means what Rashi says here it does mean. Namely, that you said ploni ata chayav, and ploni ata patur, and so on, right? That's the normal meaning of the words nigmar hadin. But as Tosis points out, if the din was already nigmar, it's a little bit ridiculous to say that a judge is not allowed to bring some type of compromise solution. Obviously, what kind of idiot's going to listen to a compromise solution if a judge just said, you just won a $2 million suit? How would you like to compromise? Thank you very much. No. That's who's going to compromise. And therefore, Tosfos Tain is that in this case, it must be that the language of Nigmar Adin doesn't mean literally Nigmar Adin. It means that Nigmar Adin totally in your mind, but you haven't yet said the words. So once you know, you haven't said the words Ploni Ata Chayav or Ploni Ata Zakai. So if you haven't said those words yet, you might think, instead of me pushing the guy up against the wall, let me encourage him to compromise. Therefore, it comes along this shita, once you know the din, you're not allowed to encourage people to compromise. On the other hand, Rashi says it means that you already set the din. So Tosha says, okay, so maybe it means that you shouldn't tell the person, look, you never know, we may end up changing our minds. I mean, that's a little ridiculous. But, I mean, it's talking, you could say, it's talking over here that a judge wants to search for a moral settlement, right? So it's like, you can imagine a kind of thing like this. So he could say, look, as far as the actual cold din is, you know, this guy's out all of his $2 million investment. But I would recommend that we should be a little bit more understanding. And just because of the small print, we shouldn't make the guy lose all of his $2 million. I would recommend going into the next room, discussing it with each other, and coming out with a compromise. Okay, that's the kind of thing that people do, right? So what this Shita here, this Tanakama, is saying is you're not allowed to do that. But the nature of din has to be heartless and cold. Once the din is there, it is completely destructive to the entire seder of reality to allow romance to get involved in what the court is doing. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, says you're never allowed to compromise. Oser livtsoa, even before you said ploni ata chayav. As a matter of fact, anybody who goes for a compromise is a chote. And anybody that says, what a wonderful person, he tried to find a compromise for people to be happy, and he gives a bracha, somebody who says that this is a good thing is actually a mina'etz. He's making HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. It's as if he was, chas v'sholom, he was mekalel es Hashem. V'al zeh ne'amar uvotzea b'reich nietz Hashem. A person who says that a compromising individual is a good person, he is insulting and angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela yikov adin et ahar. Justice, always justice. Let it cut straight through the biggest mountain. Nothing shall stand in the way of the new light rail, of the new din as it's supposed to be. And you do whatever you need to do. Shenema ki amishpat ve'elohimu. What did Moshe say? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpat. What are you sitting over here saying? Why, it doesn't seem right. Maybe we should be nicer. No. That is blasphemy. Okay. And, in fact, Moshe, Hayom Yikov Adin Tahar, Moshe would always go straight for the jugular. On the other hand, that lovely brother of his, Aaron. Aaron, he was a doll. Wait, I thought you just said, what's going on around here? I thought you just said you're not even allowed. I don't know what's going on, but Aaron, no, he was Oyev Shalom, and he was Redev Shalom, and he was Mesim Shalom ben Adam Lechavero. He always brought peace between people. Shnema Torat Emet Haita Befiu, V'Avla Lo Nimtza B'Svatav. Always he spoke the truth of Torah. B'Shalom Uv Mishor Alachiti. So? Rabbi Meshiv Me'avons, apparently he always searched for peace. So how can you say both of those statements? So the Pashtus is, as Rashi explains, Aaron never let it get to the point where people were at each other's throats in court. That's the point. He was Redev Shalom. That means that before it ever came to court, he would know that people are getting into an argument. And he would go to them and have them understand each other and thereby reach a compromise between themselves. And that would mean it never got to court. The only time we were saying that it's a problem is once it comes to court. If people are searching for din, then it's a terrible thing to take away din from the world. But Aaron never let it get to that stage. That's why it says Rodef. He would run to prevent it from ever going that far. Okay, so then that's why he was an Eyev Shalom or Eidev Shalom. Rebbe Eliezer Aimer, this business about Botzea Berech, Nietz Hashem, which you said if you say that somebody who compromises is mamish angering a Kodesh Baruch, that's not what the Pasuk is referring to. Rebbe Eliezer says, as opposed to Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yossi, you know what the Pasuk is talking about? Imagine a case like this. A guy goes ahead and he steals a sa'ah of wheat. Now he goes ahead and he grinds it up and he bakes it and he takes off challah. And now he wants to make a meitzi lechem in ha'aretz. And he's going to make a big Shabbos Suda. This is a good thing? This is wonderful? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear that bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, who made me steal this wheat to make the challah. I mean, that's disgusting. That you call a bracha. Ketzad Mevarech. Ein Zeh Mevarech Ela Min HaEitz. That's not called a bracha. V'al Zeh Ne'amar Botzeya Berech Nietz Hashem. But that's what it's referring to. It's not talking about people who are searching for compromises. Rabbi Meir says, listen, aren't you guys learning this stuff right as you learnt the Parsha of Vayeshev? This Botzeya is a reference to Yehuda. Lo nemar Botzeya ela keneged Yehuda. Shenemar vayomer Yehuda. Vayomer Yehuda lechav. Ma betza ki narog et achinu. So this, you say, is a good thing? As Rashi says, the reason it says Vayered Yehuda me'etachav is because the brother said to him, if same way you told us not to kill him, if you would have told us to bring him back to Yaakov, we would have listened to you. So anybody who says, yeah, look, he's such a tzaddik Yehuda, he's a bum. This is the Yehuda. This is no good. Mary said, my bet. That's what the pasuk is referring to. The golem of Orechet Yehuda, and you say that was a good thing? And that's why Yehuda in the end had to do teshuva. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, I firmly disagree. And I say that it's actually a mitzvah before the dayan makes a psak halacha. It's a mitzvah for the dayan to tell the balei dinim, look, gentlemen, why should you go for the jug? How about if you reach a compromise? I'll help you reach a compromise. That's a mitzvah, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Because, look, it says beferish, emet umishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arechem. Now let's face facts. Nobody walks out of court having just lost a suit for $2 million and walk out happy and feel good and peaceful about things. If it's mishpat, then there's not going to be shalom, because somebody's going to be very upset. And if there's shalom, then there's not mishpat. So how could it say, emetu mishpat shalom? V'alo b'makom sheyesh mishpat, ein shalom. U'b'makom sheyesh shalom, ein mishpat. So what must the meaning be? Ezeo mishpat sheyesh bo shalom, havei omer ze bitzua. So basically, what is the Navi Zechariah telling us? He's telling us, do your best to reach a compromise and don't bring people to din. And the same thing with Shua David. V'chein b'David omer. V'ayi David oseh mishpat u'tzedaka. How can you do both mishpat and tzedaka? Halo kol makom sheyesh mishpat, ein tzedaka. Somebody's going to be losing. And if there's a makom tzedaka, well, I mean, it's very nice to be give a person tzedaka, but it's not with judgment. Ein mishpat, ela ezeo mishpat sheyesh bo tzedaka, aveyom ze bitzua. So adaraba, it seems to be the ratzon Hashem that we should be able to get people to reach compromises instead of to give them a din. Now, this next piece that I'm going to tell you is going back to that first tanya that we said before, meaning not literally, but meaning Reb Elazar ber Yosi Haglili, that it's osur. So how does he actually understand the mishpat u'tzedakah? I mean, it's true. If it's mishpat, it's not tzedakah. So he says the point is like this. Dan et hadin, zika et hazakai, chiyev et hachayav. What it means is that when David HaMelech was a dayan, and he would end up, of course, as I say, yikov hadin es ha'har, and then he saw that the poor guy that he just cost $2 million is bereft, doesn't have any money. And he would see that he's an oni, David HaMelech would pay the suit from his own money. V'shilem lo mitoch beito. So that is mishpat u'tzedakah, meaning to one guy it was mishpat, and he told him the truth, he told him the din. And then when the poor man was deprived, so then he would be mishalim and give tzedakah to the ani. He was mishalim to him, sheshilem lo mitoch beito. That's what it means when it says, oseh mishpat u'tzedakah. It means to two different people. That was, however, difficult to Rebbe, because why does it say l'chol amo? I thought you just said that if he saw the guy was poor, that he gave him tzedakah. But you're trying to use this as the explanation of mishpat and tzedakah to David, and there it says he did mishpat and tzedakah to everybody. But this isn't to everybody, so that clearly is not the meaning of the pasuk. I say, says Rebbe, that you have a fundamental misunderstanding over here. If you say that b'makom tzedakah and mishpat and vice versa, and you say b'makom mishpat ain't shalom, I say no, that's not true. Ela tainez Rebbe afal pi shaloshim mitoch beto. It is by definition mishpat and tzedakah, because if you give mishpat lezeh or tzedakah lezeh, it's because the person that you gave justice to, meaning that you got his money back, yichzir lo mamono, but you did a tremendous tzedakah to the other person, because like this, he would be what? He wants to continue living a life stealing money? Is that how he wants to live, and that's how he wants to die? That's the biggest tzedakah you can give to a person. Shotzi gizela mitachat yado, that you give him an opportunity to live a real life where he doesn't have ganeva in his hands. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, now look, these are all very subtle differences. Here's yet another shita. So says Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, and as I mentioned to you, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, the Gemara is going to go through understanding each one of these shitas and the subtleties in which it differs from the others. So Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh says, listen, if you're a dayan, okay, two people come to you for a din. You haven't heard yet their tainas. Or you, even if you did hear your tainas, but it's a complicated case. You don't have any intuitive sense of where this is heading and how it's going to end up paskening. And Alon has got to start concentrating, even though he's there in plet. That's why they call Pete in Yiddish. People who don't concentrate on the sugya, they call him a plut, because he's been plutted. All right. So anyway, if you don't yet know, and you don't have an intuitive sense, that up until that point, you could tell them, listen, I think you should compromise. So then you're allowed to say them. It's not your mechuyev, but you're allowed to. So atarashai lomar lehem tzu vitzu. So it means we've got three shitas. We've got osir liftsoa, we've got mitzvah liftsoa, we've got rishai liftsoa. It's not clear in precisely what circumstances these three different approaches stack up, but that we're going to look at tomorrow. But you're allowed to tell them, go ahead and get a compromise. But once you know where things are headed, now this is not the same as the two other cases that we had. The first one in the Tanakhama with the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos was, you actually said the din, Ploni ata chayav, Ploni ata zakai, Rashi's pshat, or Tosfos' pshat, you were about to say the din, and you were able to say it, but you didn't say it in order to be able to ask them to compromise. That is not the same as this case where there's the difference between you know where things are headed. There's an intuitive sense, but you're not ready to say it. So that's not this sense. And it's certainly not the case where we had that if they're bo lefanecha bedin, you're not even allowed to be matzia them to go for a compromise. That's yet a third approach. So you see the subtle differences over here. But once you have an idea, you've heard what they have to say. Dimitri tishma divrehen, v'yata yodea leichan adin odeh. And you do have an intuitive sense of where it looks like the psak is going to end up. At that point, you are not allowed to suggest a compromise. Shenemar, poter mayim reshit madon, ulifnei hitgala hariv netosh. So if you're going to let go of the water that is flowing and is all, you know, rapid against each other, do that only at the beginning, before the Hitgala Ariv, before it's clear where this argument is headed. Netosh. Then you can let go of it, but you can't let go of it if it's before that. So kodem shenitgala hariv, only then ata yachol notsho. But once mishenitgala hariv, I ata yachol notsho. You're not allowed to drop it. Rish Lakish says, shnayim shabo ledin. In the event that one of them is a mafioso, and the other guy is a person that is going to be easy to take advantage of, and you do not want to get involved, because mafiosos have a tendency to make you a deal you can't refuse, judge. So you don't want to get involved in that kind of situation. What's that? I forgot. What's the name of that movie where the guy was a psychiatrist for the mafioso guy? Oh, shoot.
Analyze This.
Thank you. Yes. Analyze This. Right. So you don't want to be, you don't want to be the judge or the psychiatrist of this mafioso. So the din is like this. Or even, you're allowed to say, I don't want to be involved in this case. So, because if the mafioso ends up in Chayev, then Nimtza Chazak Rodfo, he's going to be chasing you, and the other guy's not going to come. The other guy's like, he's a naive kind of guy. He's not going to sit there with a gun. So you are able to pull out. But once you can't tell them, I don't want to be the judge. You can't excuse yourself from the case. Fear no one. The din must go ahead, whether you're frightened or not. Lo takiru panim b'mishpat. And that goes on to say, lo taguru mipnei ish ki ha-mishpat v'lo yimu. Fine. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says this word, lo taguru. You'll notice that taguru is the same lotion as oger bakai. It's a, how do you call a reservoir? It's a ma'agar. So lo taguru can be understood as, don't hold in what you have to say in a reservoir. Let it all out. And that's what it's referring to. So Yeshua ben Korcha says, look, you are not a dayan, but you're in the rows in front of the Beis Din. Remember, we have these three rows that were in front of the Beis Din. These are Talmidim that are learning the various dinim. And therefore, he could say, that, look, you know, who am I to say in front of my Rebbe? I mean, I'm going to say what I think the din is. And you see a reason that you should be mezake an ani, or you see a reason that you should make a rich man chayev, but you don't feel that it's your place. Minayin shelo yishtok. If you feel that the Rebbe, the dayan, was making a mistake, how do you know that you're not allowed to shut up, even though it's because you have derech eretz? You're mechuyev to say what you have to say. Shenema lo taguru mipnei ish. Rabbi Chanan Amar, that means lo tachnis devarecha. Don't put your words into some kind of holding pool. That's the interesting concept, lo taguru, we're going to see tomorrow, because of your desire to be mechabed your Rebbe, no matter who he is, mipnei ish. V'yu'aidim yod'im et mi'ein mi'aidim. And when you're coming as a witness, you have to realize that basically you are witnessing against HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you're lying, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the one that has to restore the nature of the reality of din in the world and make the world somehow or other make up the loss that you caused. You're testifying against him. And in whose presence are you testifying? In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And that's the, as it says, please. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Mute. Mordechai. So this is, as it says, that it's the Elohim is nitzav badas. So you're talking in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who is going to end up punishing these witnesses? Mi atid bipara mehem? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'amdu shnei anashim ashelam ariv lifnei Hashem. When you're standing there in that Beis Din, you are standing both the shnei anashim, meaning the shnei ha'edim, plus the two ashelam ariv, All of you are standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Dayanim, you are Dayanim Yodim et Miyim Danim. It's exactly the same. They are judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lifnei Miyim Danim. Miyati Dipor Amen. This is Elohim Nitzav Ba'adatel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing there in the middle of the Dayanim. Mamish. So he's be care of the Shoftim himself. V'chein b'Yoshafat, v'omer v'yomer el ha-shoftim, ru'u ma'atem osim, ki lo la'adam tishpotu, ki la'ashem. You're not judging humans. You are sitting here judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema yomara dayan. So look, I mean, you say that to a guy will say, listen, I don't need this, you know. I'll stay home. Thank you very much. I don't know. I'm going to rely on my judgment to say something where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Shema Yomara Dayan Mali B'tzara Zeh. What do I need to get into this matzvah? I'm never going to walk out there. Tamid Lomar, Chem Bidvar Mishpat. Actually, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves Mishpat in your hands. Ein lo la Dayan Elamashe Navro Ot. The Dayan has no choice but to say how he sees it as long as it is as objective as is possible, and he shows absolutely no interest in Chas v'Shalom, personal interest in the din that might warp his judgment. Okay, tomorrow we're going to get into the analyses of each one of the various shitas that we had. We've already gotten a very strong sense of how these differences are and how subtle some of those differences are.